Hello and welcome to Persuasive Speaking and Pitching with Andrew Tollington.
What's the one thing I would never go to a pitch without having? It's not a prop, it's not PowerPoint, and it is not another person. It is something that Kim Kardashian and Justin Bieber and even David Beckham know all about. It is social proof. I won't pitch without social proof, and I'm not alone. Whether or not you are a massive company like Apple or a tiny startup, social proof is always required because social proof is the thing which drives our purchases. We like to think that I want that mobile phone over there and I go and buy it. But in actual fact, social proof suggests that I only desire that product over there because other people also desire it. In your pitch, you must show that other people also desire that it is that you are trying to sell to them. If you don't do that, what you're going to end up with is an explanation in your pitch about the problem, an explanation in the pitch about your solution, and absolutely zippo sales. I like to explain social proofing by looking at nightclubs. Nightclubs are something I used to like going to a lot. By a lot, I mean 6 out of 7 nights I would be in a nightclub. I'd start queuing at about 10 p.m. and normally I'd have to wait at least 2 hours before I got in. But I was willing to wait in the cold for 2 hours before getting into a nightclub because I wanted that particular nightclub. I desired that nightclub. That desire came from social proof. Even though when I got into the nightclub, I discovered that the nightclub was empty and that's annoying, I would still go again to that nightclub because of social proof. And social proof is formed by a nightclub having a queue of people outside it. But it can't just be any old queue. Nightclubs know that queues are important to them to advertise them, but they also know it's got to be a certain type of queue. The queue's got to have people that other people that they want to come into the club will identify with. In other words, if you go and rent a bus full of grannies and stick them in a queue, I won't be going into that nightclub. So the quality of the people has to be something that I identify with. You also then want not just one person in the queue, you want lots of people in the queue. You want enough quantity of people in that queue. The quantity is also important. And then there must be a queue outside that nightclub relatively frequently for a person like me to think it's a cool place to go. If I see one massive queue outside a nightclub just the once, I'll think to myself, perhaps it was a one-off, perhaps they were paid to go in, perhaps there was a film showing or something strange like that. But in effect, I always want to see that a queue is outside the nightclub a number of times before I will go in to that nightclub. So when we think about social proof, we have to think about the quality, the quantity, and the frequency to make our social proof work. Social proof is absolutely everywhere, let me assure you. Whether or not it's a laptop, whether or not it's a mobile phone, a toothbrush or a toothpaste, you will see people endorsing these products, celebrities endorsing these products, and therefore the product starts to sell. If you go online and in the digital world, social proof is all around us. Why is it that apps bravely show these many people are following these individuals, that these many people have this many likes, that when we put up a selfie and no one likes that, we feel bad about ourselves? We want other people to desire us, and we want other people to desire our solution that we're trying to pitch. That's social proof. So one of the number one questions I get asked is, Andrew, I've got a new business, whether or not it's a consultancy, a software business, or a manufacturing business. Andrew, I've got a new business and I have no customers. How on earth do I get social proof? The answer is simple. If the cost of your product giveaway is nothing, then give it away. Get people using your product, say you get 5,000 people, 10,000 people, particularly in the world of software. If you get that many people using your product, then that's a form of social proof. Alternatively, if it's a business-to-business product and it's not about volume of users, just try and get large companies to trial your product, and that's a form of social proof. If you do have a cost to your product, say your cost of sale is £100,000 or $100,000, that's less easy to give away for free. So think about things such as going and winning awards. It's a great stamp of approval to be able to show that some industry body has awarded you something because you have a great solution. Alternatively, you can get people to write recommendations for you. You can get social proof through reviews and going on things such as trader websites where they have recommend a trader, or you can go perhaps on Trustpilot and get lots of stars showing how much people actually rate your product. So here's the theory around social proof. There were two schools of thought that I adhere to. The first is behavioral economics. In the world of behavioral economics, we have in our brains lots of shortcuts. These are heuristics. And the idea is when we come to purchase things, when we come to desire things, we only desire that which other people desire. Otherwise, we would have so much choice, we would be crippled with the amount of analysis. It would be analysis paralysis. So we rely on other humans to do the legwork for us. So when we see lots of people buying a particular product or service, we are more likely to go and buy that product or service because we think to ourselves, they've done all the legwork, they've done all of the trying of that product, and we are going to follow that person because it's just easier. We don't want the strain of having to work through all the different options. The second school of thought is from a chap called René Girard, who's a French philosopher, writer, and he speaks about something called mimetic desire. The idea here is that we as humans do not desire a product or a solution or a service directly, but we think we do, but in actual fact, all desire comes from other people also desiring it. So we have all of our decision-making mediated through other humans. So think about when you fancy somebody. If nobody else fancies them, ask yourself the question, would you fancy them? The likelihood is not. But if you go to a party and you see somebody who's got lots of other people around them, they're instantly more desirable. Same thing when you get a partner and you have a partner and you go to buy a coffee, I guarantee the barista will find you more attractive because you have social proof in place. You have somebody else saying, this person is cool, this person is desirable. In summary, we like to think that business is all about problem solving. It's around solutions to problems. But the truth is, people only desire solutions that other people also desire. That's why we must, without exception, always have in our pitch social proof.
Thanks for listening to my podcast. I produce these for free. And one of the most natural things for all people to want to do is to give back after they've received something. You can give back by simply sharing, reviewing, rating, or giving feedback on this podcast. You can also get notifications of future podcasts by subscribing to my email list on pitch-school.com or by joining my Facebook group, #AndrewTollington.